all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And I'm going to stop with my reading right there for now. Stay there in the Word. I'm going to get back to some more verses in just a few moments. Being Youth Sunday, of course, my message is always to all of us, and we can find applications and truths in God's Word that speak to our hearts. But I want to speak to our kids today specifically, and the others can benefit from it. But my title of my sermon today in the form of a question is simply this. Is being good good enough? Is being good good enough? Kids, how many times have you heard your mom and dads tell you, be good? When I think back to my childhood, more times than I can count. Some of the times they told me to be good because I wasn't being so good, and they wanted me to be good. Other times they would tell me to be good as a reminder. Maybe I was going out to go someplace and be with other people, and they would remind me to be good. I think most people want to be good. And I think that most people try to do what's right. I think most people try to live a good life. And most people, for the most part, they're just good folks. And the question, though, is being good good enough? And you may be thinking this morning, Pastor, good enough for what? And this morning I want you to listen, because what I'm talking about is I'm talking about being in a relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about this morning about receiving the promise of heaven. I'm talking about this morning being accepted by God. I'm talking about this morning about being saved. And my text verse will answer the question, is being good good enough? And I want to take my text this morning from John chapter 3 and verse 3. In that portion of God's Word, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus. And he had some questions of Jesus. And Jesus began to speak to this man, and he said unto him, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus was being direct. He was being very specific with this man, Nicodemus. And in my scripture reading this morning, I read about a man who was a good person. If you were listening this morning, I read about a man by the name of Cornelius, who the gospel or the scriptures described as being a good man. He was a successful man. He was a military leader, a centurion, who was one of the most respected within the Roman army. He had made a good life for himself. He had made a good life for his family. It tells us that Cornelius was a moral man. And kids, do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to be moral? This was a moral man. I want you to realize that it means that he was concerned about the principles of what was right. He was concerned about the principles of what was wrong. He knew what was right behavior and what was wrong behavior. And he had a good reputation amongst the people that were around about him, even the Jews. And he lived a good life. And he tried to do what was right with his life. He had earned the respect of the people that were round about him. The scriptures also tell us that this was a religious man. We know that because the Word of God said that he feared, or in other words, he reverenced God. He was a Gentile, but he was following the Jewish religion. And he was attracted to the morality, and he's attracted to the ethics of Judaism. And it tells us that this was a man who went to the synagogue. In other words, he was a man who went to church. And to the best of his knowledge, and I want you to hear that part, to the best of his knowledge, he followed God. And it goes on to tell us that Cornelius gave much alms. In other words, kids, what that means was he was a tither. In other words, he gave his money to good causes, and he knew that there was needs of others, so he wasn't a selfish man. He didn't keep all that he had for himself. He tried to help out others who were needy or that were in need. We're told in Scripture that this man was a praying man. He knew that he should pray to God. He wanted to be able to talk to God. He knew that that was the right thing to do. And there are many, I would say, that would say, surely, hearing this description of this man that we have in Scripture, surely this man will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Look at all that he does. Look at how this man acts. But I want you to remember this morning the question I asked. Is being good good enough? Despite all the goodness that this man had, and he was good. He had a lot of goodness in his life. But he was missing the most important thing in his life. The Bible tells us that at this point in time in his life, he was an unsaved man. He was lost. He was separated from God. Even though he was an exemplary person, we find in reading here that Cornelius was lost. He was a successful man, but that wasn't enough. We read about how he provided for his family, but that wasn't enough. We read about how he had a good reputation amongst people, but again, that wasn't enough. He was a religious man, but being religious wasn't enough. He went to church, but just going to church wasn't enough. He even put money in the offering plate, but it wasn't enough. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying what our teenagers just said a few moments ago, that salvation is not by works. It's not by the things that we do. Ephesians 2 and 8 tells us that by grace are you saved through faith. But that gift of God, that salvation, it was possible only by Jesus. And I want us to realize this morning is that Jesus was and Jesus is the only one that was good enough. Jesus never sinned. And as we read in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus Christ was the only suitable sacrifice. He was the only one that could atone for the sins of humanity, just like you saw in the demonstration here just a few moments ago. He is the only one that can remove and take away sin. And we can only come to God through Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When man fell from that perfect and holy state that God had originally created them in, it created a separation between the relationship between God and man. And Jesus came as the only one who could bring about a reconciliation or bring about bringing back into the relationship with the Father that he wanted from us all along. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus speaking to a man by the name of Thomas. He said unto him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Cornelius was a good man. From what I read, he was a really good man. But with all that he had, he didn't have anything because he didn't have Jesus. He wasn't saved. A little bit further in this 10th chapter, we have the record of another person. This person's name was Simon, or in other words, he was called Peter. And he was an apostle of the Lord. And Peter, it tells us that Peter had a dream. And in this dream, he dreamed of unclean animals. In other words, he dreamed about animals that, according to the Jewish law, were forbidden for the Jews to eat. They couldn't eat those animals. I'm not going to take the time this morning to tell you those animals, but you can read in the 11th chapter of the book of Leviticus, where it addresses all of the clean animals and the animals that were considered unclean. Three times, the scripture tells us that Peter had the same dream. And three times, God spoke to him and God told him to step outside what he considered to be common or what he considered to be unclean and to eat. Well, as we read there, Peter wondered about what these visions meant. And after Peter awoke from his dream, Cornelius's men that I read to you a few moments ago that had been sent to Joppa, they showed up. And the Holy Spirit told Peter to go with these men. So Peter obeyed and he went and he spoke to Cornelius. And I want to share with you in Scripture here, beginning in the 39th verse, the message that he told to Cornelius and to his household. So if you're still in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, let's begin reading again in verse 39. And it says there, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem." So Peter said, we, the apostles, we're witnesses of what he did. Who is he? He's talking about Jesus. We're witnesses of what he did, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. In other words, crucified. Him, Jesus, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To give to him gave all the prophets witness, to the Lord gave witness of him, that through his name, listen, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, or shall receive forgiveness for their sins, will be saved. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what happened there? Peter came to Cornelius, came to his household and all of those that were gathered there. And he preached to them the truth of the gospel. And Peter's message as he preached it was heard. It was received. Cornelius and his household, the scripture tells us, they heard and they believed and they were saved. They came to the realization, they came to the truth that being good is not good enough. It required more. And for those of us that are gathered here today who have received what the Bible refers to as the gift of God and goes on to say, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, to those of us that who have received the gift, we're okay. We're okay. We're the children of God and we're safe and we're secure this morning in Christ Jesus. But listen, some of our spouses are not. Some of our children are not. Some of our extended family, they're not okay. Some of our friends, they're not okay. They need Jesus. They need to know the gospel. They need to surrender to Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, this portion of God's word helps to us to get a grip on what's at stake. I sometimes think that we forget about how important the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ is. I think sometimes we forget about the impact that salvation has on the life of an individual, and we forget about the consequences of not having a life in the Lord Jesus. And I want you to listen, and we can learn a little bit from Cornelius, and we can learn a little bit from Peter here in my lesson that I read this morning. Listen, nobody is ever good enough to enter into the kingdom of God. Cornelius, as I said, he sounds like a good person, maybe one of the best people ever that we have recorded here. People loved him, and he treated everybody well, and he prayed, and he went to church, and he tithed. But as I said, that wasn't good enough. Cornelius still needed Jesus in his heart. He still needed to be brought back into a fellowship and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He still needed to know and trust Jesus as his Savior, the one who was capable of making him whole. As we gather today, people haven't changed. Your family and friends, the people you know, they just may be the best that you know. They may be nice. They may be kind. They may treat everybody well. They just may seem great. They may even go to church every Sunday and attend every service that the church has. Those works, and that's what they are, those works, they never saved anybody. They never saved anybody. Jesus, in my reading from John chapter 4 and verse 6, remember what Jesus said. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So it doesn't matter how good we are, if we're not in a relationship with God through Jesus, we don't have any hope. We need to have hope. And however good someone may be, they still need Jesus. Why? Our kids told you. Because they can never be good enough. They can never turn themselves around in the road. They can never make a decision that they're going to start living right and following Jesus on their own because of their sin nature. They need Jesus. They need to be saved. They need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul was clear when he told the Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, everyone needs the mercy and the grace of God extended to them. All need Jesus for salvation. You can't be saved separate and apart from Jesus. If you don't have that, the sad truth, and the truth of it is that you'll remain lost eternally. You'll remain separated from God for all of eternity. You won't be where he is in heaven. You'll be in a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels called hell. The good news this morning is that God is always working in people's lives. He's always working in people's lives. Cornelius, he wasn't a Christian. He hadn't trusted in Jesus yet as his personal Savior. He was a pagan. God, the Bible describes a pagan. I'll refer to him as a non-believer. Even though he did a lot of religious things, he was still an unbeliever. He was still separated apart from God. He still was lost. He wasn't saved. But God was working in his life. God had heard his prayers, and God had a plan for his life, and God wanted Cornelius to know him. God wanted to save him and for him to become a child of God. That's why the Spirit revealed to Peter and told Peter to go with the men that Cornelius had sent and go back with him. And he did that. Brothers and sisters, God is working in the lives of our families. He's working in the lives of our friends right now. I said sometimes we don't think about the seriousness of it, but I'm thankful that God is working right now in the lives of all of them. And you know what? Sometimes it just doesn't look like it to us. It doesn't look like God's working or doing anything. We may look at some people and we may say, well, you know what? It's impossible when they won't listen to us when we try to talk to them and tell them about Jesus. But listen, God is working. He's doing something right now to reveal himself to them. And listen, we can take comfort from that this morning. You want them to see Jesus. We want them to see Jesus. And you want them to go to heaven when they die. I want them to go to heaven when they die. But sometimes we just don't have much hope in that because they turn us away. They don't want to listen. First of all, I think, you know, we have to understand when it's time to stop talking at that moment and wait till another day and have another opportunity. We don't want to push too far, but, you know, we still should be concerned about them. We still should want them to know the truth. And we should know that God is working, even though when it doesn't seem like it is. I'm thankful that we see that in Scriptures today. We may not see it. We may not realize it. But God is working in their lives through events. God is working in their lives through the outreach of others. We see that in the Scripture today as he called Peter into the life of Cornelius and in the life of his household. And he went and he shared with all of them there. And brothers and sisters, God wants to use every one of us. There is no person who's been saved, who's a child of God, that God doesn't want to use. I want you to hear that. It's not up to just one or two people or a few within the church. God wants to use every single one of His children who have been saved. And I'm thankful today that that we have the opportunity. I'm thankful today that we have the ability to be used of God. We just need the willingness to be used of God. And we see that here, that, you know, for Peter, he didn't have any idea who Cornelius was. He wasn't even on his radar. Peter had been taught as he was growing up to stay away from Gentiles, to stay away from people like Cornelius, that the gospel, the word of God, wasn't for them. They were considered to be unclean. He wasn't one of them. He was an outsider. But yet the Lord, through the Spirit, changed Peter's attitude, let him know that the Gentiles were included in God's plan of salvation. And the message then and the message today hasn't changed. And that message is that all people matter to God. All people matter to God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, I didn't read that from this 10th chapter, but says, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Kids, do you know what that means this morning, that He's no respecter of persons? It means that God was making clear that the gospel, that the good news of Jesus Christ is for everyone. The Lord wants every child of God to know that we're a part of the plan. We're not to let language, we're not to let prejudice, we're not to let geography, we're not to let social status, we're not to let education keep us from telling others about Jesus. Christians, God wants to use you. He wants to use me. Your family and friends, they need you. God made it that way. That's what He did when He saved us. He had a purpose for our lives. And our purpose is to be the ambassadors, or to be the storytellers of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realize sometimes we look at people's lives and, you know, we may not approve of them. We may not approve of the life that they're living, the things that they're doing in their life. Sometimes we may just want to wash our hands of them. They may be totally immoral. They may be doing everything that they can do that goes against every belief that you have. But God wants you to show them Him. God wants you to show them His Son, Jesus. You're secure. God is secure. Your friends and families who don't know God, they're not secure. And what I mean by that is, if the Lord comes back today and they're in their sin, they're going to die in their sins and they're going to spend eternity in hell, separated apart from God, in a place that is a place, well, the rich man described it when he opened up his eyes. He opened up his eyes and said, I'm in torments. Now, I'm not going to describe all of that this morning, but torments is a bad thing. We know that word. Torments is bad. And we don't want anybody to experience that. And I want to encourage all of you that are saved, get in there. Get in there and show them Jesus. This may be the ministry that God created you for when He saved your soul. This may be the reason God saved you, so that you can share with somebody else so that God can save them. Don't say this morning that you don't know what to do. I know that's what a lot of Christians want to say. Well, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I just don't have a lot of confidence in knowing that. Listen this morning, you know what to say. Be honest with yourself. You know what to say. When Peter got to Cornelius, he told him what he knew. And everyone that's been saved knows what Peter knew that he told Cornelius. And we all know that Jesus is Lord. You had to acknowledge that before you were ever saved. Peter knew that the Lord had been crucified. He knew that Jesus had been buried in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. He knew that the Lord arose the third day just like He said He would. He told them that there is forgiveness in Jesus. Isn't that our message to the lost? There is forgiveness in Jesus. Peter was a witness. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're a witness. And you know what to say. And you know what to tell to those that are without the Lord. What do we say to people? Do we need to have Scripture memorized? Do we need to prepare a speech beforehand? No. It's good if you know Scripture. God can help you to use those things. Just tell them about Jesus. That's all we have to do is tell them about Jesus. We need to tell them who He is, who He was, what He did, why He did it, what He did for you, and what He can do for those that you're speaking to. You know the story, right? You can tell them what Jesus has done for you. We can answer the question this morning, is being good, good enough? What's the answer? No. Being good is a good thing, but being good is not good enough. Because we can never be good enough in and of ourselves. My text again, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, He said, verily, verily, or in other words, truly, truly, He said, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, except a man be saved, is what He's saying. He cannot enter in, he cannot see, and he can't enter into the kingdom of God. That's just the truth of it this morning. Our young people, as they were sharing from our articles of faith, we have 18 articles of faith. They are extractions from the Word of God about the principles that we believe that are taught to us from the Word of God. And they shared several of those which address the subject of fallen man and express the need for people to be saved and how it comes about and why Jesus did it. And I'm thankful that we have that. And it comes down to all of us looking at ourselves and saying, where are we at? If good is not good enough, where do I stand in relationship with the Lord? Of course, we have to ask ourselves, you know, have you been born again? Have you been saved? Are you burdened? That's a good indication for a lost person that's not saved. There's a burden. There's an unrest that we experience within ourselves. And what that is that's us receiving the knowledge of the gospel through the Holy Spirit of God who pricks our heart and creates that burden, or we call it conviction. And the reason that's there is because our minds have to understand the teachings of the gospel. And we experience that in our heart and we come to the conclusion that we're separated apart. And that burden or that condemnation or that conviction, that's how we know we're troubled. We know the difference between an eternal relationship with the Lord in heaven and an eternal separation from Him in hell. And that troubles us. It stirs our hearts. It concerns us. And it brings us to a place where we have to consider where we are with the Lord. And I wonder today, are you burdened? Is the Lord calling you to an altar of repentance? And you say, calling me to an altar of repentance? That's what conviction is. Once we realize where we're at in relationship with the Lord, if you determine that you're without Him, I came to that when I was 9 years old. I was lost and without the Lord. I knew that. I had heard the teachings about Jesus and what He did. And I knew that if I died at that moment, that I would spend eternity separated apart from God. And the Spirit of God drew me. In other words, moved me. And I made my way to an altar, much like this one. It wasn't this one, but it was one much like this. And I bowed and I called upon the Lord. I pled with the Lord to forgive me and to save me. And He did. How do you know, preacher? Because that conviction, that burden I had in my heart, like that, it left me. And there was a peace. And I knew that the Lord had forgiven me of my sins and removed the burden of sin and put the love of God in my heart and the indwelling of the Spirit of God. If you've been saved, you know what I'm talking about. You experienced the same thing. Well, preacher, do I have to come to an altar in front of the church to be saved? No. You just need to make an altar wherever God speaks to your heart and convicts you. My son was saved at home. I was saved in a church altar. My other son was saved on a front pew. Others have been saved many different places, plowing in the field, next to a press at work. See, God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime, but they've got to surrender unto Him. I want to have a song of invitation. There may be someone here this morning, not just our young people. There may be someone older that's never been saved. Maybe God is speaking to your heart. Don't be too proud to surrender to the drawing of the Spirit of God. Therein you'll find peace. Therein you'll find contentment and happiness. And therein you will really begin to live life. We never begin to live life as long as there's a void within us. Without the love of the Lord in our hearts and the Spirit of God within us, there's a void. That void can only be filled one way. You can try filling it with the riches of this world. You can try filling it with material things. Those things will never satisfy what you need to be satisfied with. And that's the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Let's have a song. Just have a verse, Pete. If you feel the need to come this morning, I invite you to come.